Good morning. Snow must have chased some folks off. Would remind you of the prayer cards are in the chairs in front of you. And you take those out, fill them out, and then when the kids come around to collect them, just pass them toward the center. I would remind you that they are also out in the foyer and that they will be placed along the banister up here so that you can come up and get them and pray over them throughout the week. During the first few songs, would you join me this morning in prayer? Father, we do praise you and thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us in our coming in and our going out, that you watch over us, that you are there, that you are Almighty God, ever present, and that, Lord, you are for us, even in the midst of our stumbling about, that you are right there to help us, Lord. Continue to watch over us. Open our hearts and our minds for what you have for us. And we ask this all and give you praise in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I normally do an exhortation of God's word. Today you're going to get a different type of sermon. So bear with me in that. I have found that this book is a treasure. That the printed word for me is something that I like to get into. I have seen preachers and pastors and evangelists take out their tablets or their phones and preach from those. And that's wonderful that they can do that or they want to do that. But for me, I want the printed word. I can highlight it. I can write in the word. I can write in the margins. I can place notes in there to myself and maybe for future generations. Who knows? But you know, if they can read it. It has taken a long time for us to be able to have God's Word in English. John Wycliffe, translated the Bible, and I have it in my notes and I should read those, in between 1380, this was before Martin Luther, remember this, between 1380 and 1384. Before they could get him and kill him for doing so, he died of a stroke while preaching. What a way to go. 40 years later, the church at that time was so angry because he'd done that, because he had caused a turmoil in doing it, that they took and dug his grave up, or dug him up out of hallowed ground, the grave in the graveyard, burned his bones, crushed them and burned them, and threw them into the river Swift, because then he would be outside of consecrated ground and would not get to heaven by the time period at that time. So angry were they over that. Now, he translated the Bible from the Latin Vulgate, which is what he had, into English. About 100 years later, Tyndale did the same thing from the original manuscripts that they had at the time, Hebrew and Greek, into English. He was choked and then burnt at the stake for doing so. And then those who followed him were also killed. So to have the Bible that you have, either written in the Word or on your phones or electronical apparatuses, people died to get that to you. People died to get that to you. When I was in Washington, D.C. a few years back, we got to hear some things and we were taught some things. Library of Congress. And the Library of Congress should catch on fire. There are two written things that will be immediately taken by machine to another building so that they cannot be damaged. Can you guess what one of those is? Just one. Declaration of Independence, okay, and a copy of Whitefield's Bible. What he did. Those are immediately taken, should there be anything to try to get to them. They're taken, evacuated out of the building, I guess the way to put it.
The importance of God's word cannot be stressed enough in our lives. People died so you could get your hands on it, and we ignore it. I'm not going to ask you to open your Bibles to any particular translate or any particular books this morning, but I'm going to read to you verses throughout God's word to us. And what we're going to start with is Amos, Old Testament prophet, chapter 8, verse 11. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." We live in that time. We live in that time of famine. Imagine being surrounded by food, carrying it with you everywhere you go. You have it in a lunchbox and starving to death. We do it every day. I had my phone. I left it over there. You carry your cell phone with you. There are 900 English translations of the Bible. If you have the Bible app, I want to make sure I get this the right number right. There are 67 English translations in the Bible app. 67. And yet people don't know the Bible at all. And that goes for the church. The church is biblically illiterate in this day and age. Not my words. I'm telling you what's out there. We don't know it. And you know what's even worse? We don't have to read it. I don't like to read. Everybody, reading, I just fall asleep. Right? I've heard it. But you know what? That little apparatus that you carry in all the time, you can have it read the Bible to you. You can put it in your car, plug it in, and listen to it over the speakers. You can do it while you're walking around and listen to what God is saying. And you don't have to read it chapter and verse. Pick a book. And if you've never read through the Bible, I highly recommend the Gospel of John and then read Romans. And if it takes you a year to get through both of them, God bless you. You've got that much. Right now we're doing this Bible reading plan that I'm not doing the one online. I'm trying to keep up with both. But this one here, you can start anytime you want. And there's copies of it back in the back. You can start it any week you want. Goes Monday, you do a reading. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, right on through. The longest it's taken me so far is a little bit less than 20 minutes to get through the longest reading they have. Usually it takes about 5. It's not hard. We make it hard. The secular world tells us that the Bible is just a book written by long dead men, and that it has no relevance today. But we, as Christians, know that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit and of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's Hebrews 4, right where you were at. Close by this morning, Steve. Hebrews 4, verses 12 through and 13. Yes, I will say that the Bible was recorded by men. God used 40 very, very human authors to pen his word over a period of about 1,500 years. 1,500 years of that. And that's between the time Moses wrote down the first 5 books and Revelation, which is John, the same author as the Gospel of John. Those people were, and I want to make sure I don't miss any here, there was a murderer, there was an adulterer, there were fishermen, kings, farmers. There was a Gentile doctor who wrote most of the New Testament. That was interesting for me. Prophets and other eyewitnesses that God inspired. keep in mind, when we talk about a prophet, that when we speak of prophets, we are speaking of those who spoke forth and wrote down what God told them to. Okay? Prophecy is what was written and spoke of as dictated by God. His promises, his foretelling of what was going to happen and the consequences if they were disobedient to the word. Foretelling, right? That's where we get the word prophecy. But it was the word of God that was spoken out to them. 2 Peter tells us that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God loves humanity enough to give us his written word, and we are to be obedient to it. Right? Your Creator says, here's what I expect of you. Here's what you're responsible for. And we go, okay. We take it home and it gathers dust. Sits on the coffee table, or as Pastor Phil once said, holds the end of the coffee table up so it's level. Shame on us. Shame on us. It was written so that it would go well with you. And he was speaking to his people, right? So that it would go well with us. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. Forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. How do we learn what's good and right? Through the word. Romans 8:28. Right? Doesn't sound like, well, how's that connected to the word? If you love me, you will do as I command, which is the word of God, right? And we're told in Romans 8:28, and you've heard me say this, that for those who love God, all things work together. Who are those who love God? Those who are doing what he says. God not only gave us the written word, but God gave us his son, the word made flesh. John 1, which I had marked, says this, at the very beginning, first chapter, first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And then if you jump down to 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. The Word of God tells us of creation, how the world was created for us, and how we were given dominion over it. Here it is, take care of it, and this is how you do it, right? Do you know that the atomic clock, the one that we look at for precisely what time it is set by the movement of the sun and the stars? Did you know that? That's the truth of it. You want to know what time it is? They look at the stars to set the clock that is so precise. God set those stars. And he tells us in Genesis so that we will know the times. So we will know these things. The Bible gives us history. And that history all points forward to the coming of Christ our Savior. John says it like this, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Bible is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the servant of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. As I read that, I kept thinking, well, there's the problem. It's for the servant of God. So that it is we that find it profitable. It's not profitable for the non-believer. They have no use for the promises, the moral teachings, the training in righteousness, and the equipping for every good work. They have no need of that. And good works are what God has called us to do in serving Him and one another. The Word of God. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, the churches, right? That's our, that's what's referred to. And that's in Romans. That through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we have hope. Or we might have hope, excuse me. We might have hope if we believe, right? Believers are not like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We now, as believers, according to the Word, are forgiven, saved from the penalty of sin, justified, sanctified. All these things are ours through the Word and because of what the Word made flesh did for us. To us who believe. And to believe is to have ongoing belief, right? I want to make sure we got this. To believe is to have ongoing belief. And that is, which is believing, right? And believing is putting into action the knowledge that you, as an individual, and we as the church, that you are putting into action. That you have received by faith, by God's word. By faith in God's word. By faith in God, because He said this and we believe it. Faith is the catalyst for believing, and believing is faith in action. Faith is the catalyst for believing, and believing is faith in action. But where does faith come from? What does God's word say? What does the Bible tell us? Those are words I want you to understand, and I want to hear you when somebody says, well, what does God's word say? Well, God's word tells us how to raise our children, gives us instructions on it. God's word tells us how we're to be married, how to interact with our spouses. God's word instructs us how to get along with one another. And yet, it sits unread and unused. By the world in particular, but all too often by those of the church. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Through the word of God, King James Version says God instead of Christ. When I became a Christian, I will tell you that I floundered around for a couple years. Okay, I was Christian in name. And yeah, I was sort of trying, kind of. I would attend a Sunday school class or two. I was involved in a couple small groups. And I was learning. But it just wasn't what it needed to be. I was not focused on Jesus. Nor His word, for that matter. I had horses and farm work and wood to cut. I had things that needed to be done. My children needed shoes and fed and clothed. We had a house and car payments. And the list kept going on and on and on. And so while I knew of God's word and some of what was in it, I was not focused on Jesus and the word. Somewhere along the line, I realized I can't take any of the things I had been, that had my attention, that I had been so focused on with me when I leave this world. You will not see a U-Haul trailer behind a hearse. When you pass, it's gone, as far as you're concerned. I was reading an article that reminded me that in 100 years from now, everybody that's here will probably not be remembered. Ouch. Wow. I mean, really think about it. We struggle to do and have, and all of it's gone. When Mindy's grandfather died out, he lived out in the country, and we had a big auction, and they came from all around because he had all this woodworking tools, and he made furniture, and everybody was there. And at the end of it all, his life summed up to $5,000. Now, they didn't count the house, but the vehicles and everything that was there was $5,000. So the sum total of what you're worth after you're gone, if you're lucky, will be $5,000. Somebody else is going to live in your house. Somebody else is going to drive your cars. Why do we get so focused on things? So, I gave my life to Christ. Redirected my focus to learning the Word, and in the process, He revealed Himself to me. To me. Who am I? And yet, God loves me enough to speak to me, to tell me what He wants of me, what He expects of me. And here's your responsibility as a husband and a father and a member of my church and as my child. Wow, I'm even His kid. And He treats me so good. I got up this morning. I had food in the refrigerator. I had clothes to wear. In fact, you have to go through, what am I going to wear? I heard some women arguing about that, and I mentioned my wife's name this morning, about what am I going to wear to church? Have you ever said those words? What am I going to wear to church? We are blessed beyond compare. And you know how we find out about those blessings? Through the Word. Through the Word. Everything we have comes from God. Is when I set aside my desires and took up God's desires. When I set my side my wants to learn and grow in what God's desires for me were, that I found purpose. Now, He never said to me, you're going to be a pastor in Michigan. He never told me I was going to be a pastor in Dayton. He never said to me He was going to be a pastor. That didn't come, but by divine revelation over time, as I looked for an answer, I got it. And boy, have I been blessed. God has the same thing in store for each one of us. He has a purpose for you. It could be to go to Africa, be a missionary in Scotland, could be to teach a class. Could be to be an encourager, a helper. But He has a purpose for you. And that purpose will change. As you grow and as you learn, that purpose will change. Because you'll change. Because you'll change through what God has written in His Word for you. Sorry. This is one of those things that really strikes me, because without the written Word, where would I be? Without those people that died so that I could have it, where would I be? Where would you be? Where would the church be? I found that I need to be in the Word, that my faith became stronger as I kept going on in the Word. That when I didn't do what I was supposed to do, when I didn't get up and do my devotions, when I set it aside for more important things, ouch, that my faith wasn't as strong. You see, I found out that I needed a steady diet of God's Word. The light that I had gained in my past study had to be encouraged with the light of God's Word today. If you light a candle, it's going to go out after a while, right? But you could take that candle and light another one, or a bigger one, or a brighter one, and you'll grow. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. How can you hear from God if you are not in the Word? How can any of us, whether we're at home or here, hear from God if we're not in the Word? I attend church every Sunday, Pastor. I hear what God has to say to me for that half hour that I rant and rave, that I stumble about and mispronounce. You're hearing from God then? Good. God bless you. And He will speak to you through that. I mean, I've been convicted sitting there where you're at big time over some things. I've heard things that have affected my life to this day. I can still hear Pastor Phil saying, because we use that excuse, I'm only human. He would say, no, you're not. You're not only human. You are inhabited by the living Word of God right now. You're not just human. You are without excuse to act just human. Ouch. Why does He have to say those things? Because it's in the Word. Because it's in the Word. How can you know what you're created for? How can you be in His plan to prosper you and give you a future and a hope if you're not in the Word to know what the plan is? You need to be in the Word of God in order to truly comprehend that you are loved, here for a reason, and are a part of the plan He has for you and His church. Because you're a part of that plan for the church. What I have found to be true for myself, I have seen in others. If you think you can live in the world with strong faith without having taken in God's word today, you are only fooling yourself. We need God's word. We need His strength. We need His encouragement. Each of us needs a study diet of the word. You need to study it. You need to talk about it and share what you are learning with others so that you know that the teaching you are receiving lines up with the Word of God. I sure hope that you're looking to say, Pastor Kenny said this today. Is that out of the Word? Is that from God's Word? Or was that something He just said? Where did He get that? How did He come up with that? Is it in the Word? Is it in the Word? We cannot conjecture. We cannot add to or adjust God's Word to suit any fellowship, any tradition, any denomination, or any movement. No matter whether it has Church of God, Reformation in front of it or not. What does the Word of God say? Does the teaching I've listened to, is the teaching I've heard come from the Word, or was it twisted? You know twisted scripture. God never gives you more than you can handle. Oh, yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. Now, He'll won't give you more than you can handle as far as temptation, and He'll provide a way out. That's in the Word. What's the other saying that I'm trying to remember right now? Cleanliness is next to godliness. There's a bunch of them. They're not coming from the Word. Okay? We have to be careful. God helps those that help themselves. That's the one I was looking for. It may be a little bit on the true side because we need to pray. And then if I pray to get a job and I don't fill out any applications or go looking, I'm not saying that God's not going to come and have somebody knock on my door and say, hey, I've got a $100,000 job for you. Come out. That's possible, not probable. But if I pray about getting a job or finding a house or whatever, and I put feet to my prayers, God will open the doors. God will supply me what I need. May not be what I want. And we have to be careful what we pray for. Oh, we need a pastor. We'll take anything. But it's true. It's true. Oh, this is why I said we have to have endings, right? When I do funerals, I do not ask people to come up to, is anybody here would like to speak? Because I've seen what happens. Half hour, and they don't know when to stop. Okay? Pastor Derek, they tell him, okay, you can stop praying now. And he admits to this. He says, I get going, and then it's just saying grace over food. It doesn't need to be a half hour sermon. Thank you for the ice cream, Lord. Amen. We need to take out the sword of truth, which is the word of God. We talked about this when we went through the armor of God. How can we handle the word of truth if we've never picked it up? How can we handle the word of truth if we don't know the truth? We're supposed to speak the truth in love. Right? We need to know the truth in order to speak it in love. Well, oftentimes we use it as a club. The Word of God is a club. We see it all the time. We're supposed to be sanctified in the truth. Jesus prayed that we would be sanctified in the truth. Your Word is truth, he said when he prayed. How can we be sanctified in something we're not in? Jesus, the Son of God, said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Wow. It's one thing to know about the truth. It's another thing to put that truth into action. The world knows all about. Well, let me rephrase that. The world knows that there is the Bible, that there is the Word of God. They're not interested in knowing what it has to say because that'll cramp my lifestyle. I can't live the way I want to live because this is what I like, not knowing that they could have much better through the Word of God and a relationship with Jesus Christ, which we find out about through His Word. One more thing. Yeah, this is when I'm going to close. Okay, one more thing. When Jesus returns and he's coming back, because we're in the last days, according to the word in Hebrews, we are in the last days and he's coming back. And he said this, the one who rejects me does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him. On the last day. The last day. When Christ comes back. We're going to be judged by what he told us. From the word. We have no excuse. Not to know. What we're going to be judged for. We have none. You carry your Bibles with you every day. And your cell phones. How many did I say? 67? 67 English translations? That's just in the one Bible app. I don't know how many other Bible apps there are. I don't know. And that's in the YouVersion, by the way. The Life Church puts that one out. It's very, very good one, by the way. And it will read, the app will read the Bible to you in the translation you choose. Most of them have a recording, somebody speaking it. saying it, reading it. So, are you ready? Are you ready? Like I said, you have no excuse not to know what you're responsible for. You have no excuse not to know what is expected of you. You have no excuse not to know that Jesus Christ died for you, that God loves you, that He wants what's best for you, and that He is with you all the time as a Christian. There's so much more. You read of Gideon and his faith. You can read of Samson, not a very great example for a lot of things, but you'd learn history. There's so much in there. We need to learn it together, and we need to learn it as individuals. All of us. Those at home and those who are here. Because God loves you, and He's given you His Word. He loves you enough that He gave it to you. And He made it happen that it was translated and people paid the price so that you could have it. In fact, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us and paid the penalty for your sin and mine. Get into the Word. It may be a struggle to begin with, but it pays dividends that are beyond compare. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are truly grateful for Your Word, for Your love and Your mercies. We're thankful, Lord, that You have brought us together as the church, and that, Lord, we learn and grow as we come together, as we share the knowledge that each of us has. We're thankful, Lord, for Your church. It's made up of many different doctrines, if you will. But all we need to know, Lord, is what Your Word says. What does the Word of God say concerning? We can't conjecture. We can't add to or subtract from. Because You have given us what we need, Lord, to live in this world, to be sanctified. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and we just praise You for Your love and mercy toward us. We're thankful, Lord, for the Word made flesh. We're thankful, Lord, for the written Word. And I pray, Lord, for each and every individual who is here and those who are at home even now, that You would write Your Word upon our hearts and minds, that You would give us a hunger and thirst for You and Your Word that knows no end, Lord, that we would continually seek what You have for us through Your Word, while we walk in Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, stick around for a time of fellowship. There's lots of stuff out there to eat, and we need to make sure it's gone.